You're listening to 9 minutes of madness.
In 2017, Hawaii was plagued by a rash of thefts of spam. Spam had long been a target of thieves in Hawaii. It's that, like, valuable as well.
Local retailers believe organized crime was involved.
Spam robbing.
Yeah, the Poi Mafia has stolen all the spam. Fucking spam heists.
Along with the sandy beaches and azure waters, Hawaii is also known for its culinary obsession with the canned meat product known as spam. Spam has always been one of those things people have stolen in the past, but we've seen a rash increase recently in the last few months where people are now stealing multiple cases of spam.
It says you can steal up to $400 of spam without it being a felony.
There's a black market of some sort. We've heard, you know, it's being resold in homeless camps, out of the back of trucks with the swap meet, to people in and around their neighborhoods.
Hey, you know what? If some dodgy guy shows up, like, in an alley and is like, hey, man, want to buy some spam? Like, no,
I think I'm going to get...
Okay, to be fair.
Yeah, like, you buy, like, stolen watches or, like, smack or something. You don't buy... canned meat.
Okay, but you know what? Yeah, normally, like, if you're buying it from, like, a dodgy guy and it's fallen off the back of the truck,
yeah,
there'll be something horribly wrong with it.
Exactly.
This is spam, though.
You know it's
got to be genuine spam because it's either genuine spam or it's better than that.
Yeah.
How much worse can spam get? Like,
exactly. That's my thing. You can't get worse. No one is going to sell you imitation spam.
No, but you
because that would be an improvement.
Yeah. If you injected the can with a disease, it would improve.
Yeah.
It'd improve the flavor.
Yeah. It'd improve the experience. I can't believe that
would you buy meat of a dodgy guy in an alley out of a boot of a car? That's what I want to know.
So that says that they're keeping spam close to the front register and locking up corned beef.
It's like, lock up your daughters, the spam thieves are coming to town.
Ooh, the spam museum.
The
museum tells the history of the Hormel Company, the origin of spam, and its place in world culture. They have, like, a, you know, it's a small world with, like, you know, like,
but cans of spam.
Spam. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was just dancing cans of spam.
500 square foot space includes a theater, historical displays, family activities and games, and a gift shop. The lobby of the museum featured a wall of spam with more than 3,300 spam cans, and for many years the theatre showed a short film entitled Spam, A Love Story.
Spam, what is it good for?
A World War II themed exhibit explained the importance of spam as a staple for American troops. And Spam Brand 101, an interactive exhibit where visitors learn about 15 varieties of spam, and families are able to compete in the assembly of mock cans of spam. Volunteer guides known as Spambassadors.
See, it's good. I was like, oh. Yeah.
This time it's my turn.
Yeah, dude, Spambassadors.
So, yes?
I was just about
offer
to
offer visitors
you.
Small bits of spam on the toothpaste or pretzel stick, commonly known as Spamples.
Let me get this right.
I can go to the spam museum and a spam ambassador will hand me a spamble. Get the fuck out of here. Hey, and it's free entry and, you know, but you will feel compelled to donate to the spam museum.
All they can display is rotten, like, canned meat.
You know what? Someone's got a wall of spam cans, technically they're a hoarder, not a museum.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Look, can we look at the pictures large?
Yeah.
And enjoy the... Do you know who the guy in the front is? Like,
that's Sir Winston
Spam. Yeah, I was going to say Sir Archibald Spam.
Spam-a-lot.
1872, Sir Archibald Spam invents a cheap
and
source of fuel.
Yeah.
It turns out it's edible.
1897, the great famine in Ireland forces desperate peasants to turn to consuming Sir Archibald's fuel as food.
Exactly.
Spam-cellent.
1912, Birth of a Nation comes out and the Ku Klux Spam becomes more popular than ever.
Speaking of the Klan.
The President of the United States says, I support the Ku Klux Spam.
1941, in a desperate effort to dislodge Japanese from entrenched positions across the Pacific, spam is dropped off in great numbers.
But then they like it.
In celebration of their liberation, the peoples of the Pacific eagerly embrace spam as their liberator.
Yeah. That's good.
Phased out of field rations during the early early 2000s.
But wouldn't they
in
rather
World War
not...
II, Spam was not only eaten, but also incorporated into any other aspect of the war. Grease for guns, cans for scrap metal.
Dude, it may have whistled big fuel.
So prominent, Uncle Sam was nicknamed Uncle Spam.
Yes, get the fuck out of here.
In the United States, a troop of former servicewomen were assembled to promote Spam from coast to coast. The group was known as the Hormel Girls and associated the food with being patriotic.
Yeah, it's like you've got Rosie the Riveter and the Spam Girls. Spam Sally. Gracie
gets supper for George.
Ding a ding a ding. Supper ready? Pretty swell. Spam and waffles, ring the bell. That's
not good. Maybe you wish you could take back saying that.
That's not good.
You can never unsay that.
Yes, yeah.
There's a little case study here. Life with Father is lots more fun since we found Spam.
So yeah, Father is no longer drunk and angry and beats us.
Yeah, yeah, actually, like the little story. Yeah.
My husband used to be pretty grumpy in the morning, but all that's changed now. You ought to see him light up when I bring on the Spam and eggs for breakfast. Hot or cold, this pure pork product hits the spot. Spam, the meat of many uses.
Baked Spam is easy to make. I just pop a whole Spam into my oven. Oh! Whole
is
Spam
that,
into my
what,
oven.
It's, like, it's not called like a can of Spam or a loaf of Spam. It's still
it's spam. I put a whole Spam on the oven. I baste it three times with the sauce described on the label. Ew, do you think it's just the goo on the inside?
Oh, no.
And 25 minutes later, Spam!
Like, you hear about English food being awful. And then, after seeing all of this kind of shit, you're like, it's going to be at least in the middle of...
Technically, I don't think this is food.
No, what do you think the English are eating at this time? During the war, they're eating dirt.
Look, dude, they're just eating fish and chips, and they're bloody glad that they're, you know, having some food. But, you know, bangers and mash will, you know...
No, it's Bubble and Squeak from 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, quite frankly, Bubble and Squeak is 90%, at least on the level of this, which is the best thing on the...
90% of the time, English food, it seems to be just leftovers. So I assume that the last new meal was cooked in England sometime during the Tudor dynasty.
All English food is like, you get leftovers and you do this and this and this. But like, where's the original food coming from?
How
many leftovers do you have? And what does it start off as? Because it's always like, now grab your leftovers. Like, are there... actual meals that people have, or what's going on? Biography of like the singer from Iron Maiden came out, and he's talking about how their drummer likes to play a lot of golf. So the singer went to the golf course with a drummer, and he's an excellent golf player. So he's playing on some of the, you know, finest golf courses. And apparently has a huge flatulence problem.
I see.
So there's them and a couple of like country club guys standing on the golf course. He farts so hard that the singer from Iron Maiden says his pants like fucking
rubbing like and sails.
And it stinks really bad, and he just goes, "Oh mate, bugger that, I think I followed through. I've shit me fucking pants."
It's a
like, so, you know, he sort of looks around and he's like, "You know, fuck, I guess I'm gonna take off." So he takes his shitting pants off, they're full of shit. He looks at his assistant and he's like, "You take care of this, mate." So the guy's like, "We're gonna have to bury it."
That's
so
what
they dig
called.
Up the golf course.
I'm really sure that's not in the caddy's so.
No. I tell you what, if the guy you're caddying for shits his pants, he gets chucked out of the golf course, you get promoted to golfer.
What I would have assumed. But,
no, see, the caddy's job is...
No one should be shit. The caddy can't shit his pants either.
The caddy's job is to hand you your clubs, give you advice on which clubs to use, and bury your shitty pants. And take care of your potty issues.
But apparently, yeah. So they dug up, and I forgot what was the name, because it was one of the English serious courses. They buried his pants.
Somewhere in the rough.
And they did this, and they kept fucking playing, and the singer went with him.
Did he have another pair of pants?
Here's the thing. They've got the pants
at the
pro store, so the sister has to run over there and get some more pants.
So he stands up with his shirt tail fluffy in the
wind.
He's
got no underwear at this point because he shat those too. So he's just standing there like with his dick.
What, dude? He shat those first.
He shat those first.
He shat the rest of
it. Apparently, he just turns to the singer while this is going, and he's going, "I'll tell you something, I've got a bit of a pants problem on some of these courses. I've left a few surprises on some of them." Apparently, a bunch of golf courses throughout the world have this guy's shitty pants going. This isn't like, you know, a one-time situation. Like, there are literally like tens if not, you know, dozens of pairs of shitty pants buried throughout golf courses.
Yeah, but he's such a good golfer that he's allowed on these courses.
That's what I want to know. Like, how good is he when... after, you know, he's playing with a country club guy and he's shit his pants and running back.
He's not just with his friend there and the caddies. There's like a lot of time you play with four dudes and two of the dudes because you like you never just go off. It takes too long if you're going to take up the time. If he has this much of a problem, why doesn't he either wear a diaper or bring extra pairs of pants? The caddy can carry all four pants.
Apparently, he started bringing extra underwear.
Oh, at least he's playing a head for his shot.
He knows he's going to shit his pants at some point.
Oh, wait, does you know what he's going to shit his pants
on the golf course? Yes, but I said he's never shit his pants in Iron Maiden when they're performing in the studio or drumming or like he's fine. So he goes out to the golf course and he really shits his pants.
I think that sort of makes sense.
Is it the goal? Like, is it?
I was gonna say it's the clenching and the twisting and the
I assume it's sort of the sort of pastoral landscape.
It's conducive to peristalsis. He loses control of his mouth.
It's just like the cows.
I sphincter. My sphincter just let rip and I'm...
Yeah. There's no etiquette to cover that sort of situation.
Like, probably not. I don't think it arises very often.
A gentleman does not comment upon another gentleman shitting himself.
Yes.
There you have it. Remember to send your comments, rants, or death threats to podcastmadness@gmail.com. And don't forget to tune in next week for another 9 minutes of madness.